Praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Very glad to be with you. I think it has been a while since I've been here. Probably close to a year. It has been a year of many, many different things, most of which are we would look at and think they're not for the good. You'll have to move that. That's right in my face there.
Do you need it up here or off to the side? We're just trying to light the Bible a little bit better.
Okay. Well, that's not going to work. And, you know, it's quite all right. I'll just look at it with my glasses on and then take them off. Praise the Lord. Let us have a word of prayer. Father, I want to come by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see that this evening, you see where we are at with regards to our position in relationship to you. You see the position of the world, the things that are happening, the face of the devil that is rising up to manifest himself in different forms, in different fashions, in different places. And Father, we should not be terrified, or we should not be surprised, because basically you said it was going to happen. You said that this was a time frame in which we have been called to come into active duty, so to speak. So Lord, we just present ourselves to you this morning, this evening, asking for your presence, asking for your divine will. Lord, I want to present my mind to you. I want my thoughts to be your thoughts. I want to present my emotions to you. I want those emotions that I feel, Lord, those things that work in my soul, to be those emotions that you are wanting to express. Father, I ask that the desires of this soul be subjected to the desires that are in your heart, and the desire that you have for a people in this end time. So we want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We want to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I think I've shared it here before. I don't know. I've shared it many different places, but I'm going to share it again. I'm not going to give you the whole story because you're probably aware of it. But in 2012 of August of 2012, there was an experience I had prior to going over to Africa. It was the beginning of August that I was going. And this deep sense of foreboding and grief came upon me when I was departing, and I really did not understand it. I really did not fathom what it was. I didn't know whether someone I knew very close or loved very near was going to die, or if possibly something was going to happen to me on the out trip, and that I would not possibly be coming back. I did not know what it was, but God did not choose to reveal to me at that time what it was. Well, praise the Lord, it wasn't any of those things. It was something, I think, in some sense of the word, far greater than that, because when I came back from the trip, and I was in my kitchen reading the news on the internet, I heard about the situation in Benghazi. And reading the account of it and all of the things that were being spoken for the reason of it and the fact of what it was that we did not do, because we did nothing as a nation. Nothing except for to lie, to cover it up, and to do whatever we could to divert the attention off of that thing. And as I was reading that and seeing that and sensing it in the spirit, this feeling that I had when I left came back upon me. Now, this is in 2012. And I begin to understand what it was the Lord was saying to me concerning the country in which I was born, the country in which I grew up in, the country in which maybe I had not appreciated as much as I have learned to appreciate it over the years of my traveling and going to other places. And I begin to understand it, and I begin to seek the face of God concerning it, pondering it in my mind. You know, when certain things happen with regards to Jesus and Mary, it says that she pondered these things in her heart. And I was pondering these things in my mind. I was pondering these things in my heart, asking the Lord concerning them, what is the ramifications here? What does it really mean? And that evening I was talking with a group of brethren over the phone, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and as I was talking to them, I do not know if they were aware of it or not, but when I was talking to them, it was a prophetic word that the Lord has given me and that I was speaking that was bringing the revelation of what I had been asking. And what I heard in the Spirit and what I spoke was that it was the feeling, the aspect of it, the grief of it that was gripping my soul. He said it is a knelling of a bell that tolls the death of a nation. Now, you don't ring the bell until the nation is dead. You don't ring the bell until somebody passes on. And, you know, I don't know if that really registered with me, you know what I mean, in the aspect of it. But as I look at the current events that have happened since 2012, and the scandals, and the shame, and the perversion, and all of this diabolical manifestation of God, a manifestation of hell that has risen up and come out of hiding. Did you hear me? Huh? Hallelujah. I begin to understand that in God's mind, it was a done deal. You know, and I look at all of these candidates that are on the stage and all of the things they're going to do, and especially one of them that is saying we're going to make America great again. And then on the other side, you see all of the things that have happened, and you're hearing about them and hearing about them and hearing about them. And yet new revelations are coming out. And the perversion of man and the disrespect for God and human life. No conscience, no morality of God. Now, I'm not talking about some country in deep, dark Africa. I'm not talking about some backward land who has been under the rulership of the devil and are practicing all kinds of witchcraft. Huh? I'm talking about the United States of America, who has imprinted not only upon their coins, but imprinted upon their soul, in God we trust. I grew up under the theology of in God we trust. Huh? Hello? All of that has come to an end. All of that has stopped. And all of these events, that have happened, and we're going back to these candidates that are now vying for this position and telling us what they're going to do about the situation. Now, as a Christian who believes he heard from God, what is my reaction in all of that? What would your reaction be? Let me tell you one thing for sure, is as I'm listening to it and as I'm seeing it, I'm seeing an entirely different story. I'm seeing an entirely different vision. Do you understand? I'm seeing a reality that is not yet manifested, but had been prophesied many years before by a man called A.A. Allen. You know, A.A. Allen had his problems. But the man was anointed of God. And there was a physical demonstration of that anointing. Not only in the deeds that he did, but in the words of prophecy that he prophesied and some of the things that have already come to pass. But then the vision that comes to my mind that I read many years ago was when he was up there on the entire Empire State Building and he was looking, and it's still on the internet. You can go and look at it. I encourage you to go look at it. And he was looking through binoculars, those things that they have up there that you can see for miles up close. And what he saw was an entirely different view than what it was in actuality. He had to step back from it, I believe, and make sure that he was in the right place. And every time he would go back up, he would see this Statue of Liberty coming down off of her base. And in some manner or fashion, over a period of time, staggering down the East Coast, till it came down where Georgia or something is, and came across and staggered out into the Gulf of Mexico. And it fell two or three times. And in the time, and every time it would get up a little less than that it did before, until the last time it fell on its face and it ceased to exist. Hallelujah. Brethren, I don't know about you, but I see the Bible unfolding before my eyes. You know, when Brother Dusil came, he came with a message. And he came to a particular people, and when God when he asked God, "How shall I know those people?" He said, "You will know those people because they will accept the word that you are bringing to them." Mm-hmm. So, if you are one of those, then you are the people whom God sent Brother Dusil, and the word that he had was in particular something that he wanted to give you. Mm-hmm. But he didn't give you that word just for you to form another church. Just for you to form another denomination. You know we have a holy place denomination now? Hello? It's a Pentecostal holy place denomination. We come to church. We read our Bibles. We pray, we give tithes, we give offerings, we make physical sacrifices for this and this, and we're out here doing all of these good things and all of these things, and we come in here and we have a good time in praise sometimes. Maybe I'm just really out there in left field someplace. Did you feel the lack of strength tonight?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
Did you feel it?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why is there no strength? Why is there no vitality? Why is there no vibrating of the Spirit?
Amen.
Within our soul and resonating of it to come out to strengthen one another? Why? Because we're into a denominational set of thinking. We are going to church today. We are going to church tonight. So you do everything you're supposed to do during the day, and then you get dressed, you pick up your Bible, and you come to service. You haven't eaten anything spiritual. Your mind has not been set upon the things of the Spirit. And their thoughts have not been an intensive desire to know and to be in the presence of God. Why? Because we have a theology that somewhere out there, sometime, in some miraculous way, we're going to walk into God or He's just going to come into us. And there's no energy or effort that we have to expend in that way. And we feel justified. Justified. Do you hear? We feel justified on the basis of what we have and the fact of what we are doing. Hallelujah. And the world is coming apart at the seams. The world. The United States is not the only one that is sinking down into moral depravity. Can you imagine the Americans with the value and the sense of life and the aspect of what has now been coming out in video and proof upon proof and on proof, and everybody's lying about it and justifying it and accepting it? When the Lord said that nailing the death of a nation, I'm telling you, it's been one of the hardest things for me to accept. Did you hear me? Well, maybe I didn't hear it correctly. Oh, maybe it was meant this, or maybe it was this, or this, or this, or this, or this. I have enjoyed my position of freedom. I've enjoyed my comforts in the world. I've enjoyed my habitual workings and movings in and amongst humanity in this environment. I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Hello? I come home, and I'm just now getting over the deliverance of calling it home. But I have to stop. Somebody says, "Where's your home?" And I want to say, "Well, I live in the U.S. Huh? But I have to stop. I have to think. I said, "Well, I'm not quite sure. I'm somewhat between heaven and hell. Huh? I got the as-built on this side, and I got the individual who is born again on this side, and there's a tug of war in the midst of me.
Yeah.
Huh? Working to bring me one way or the other, and the devil is pulling out the devil is pulling out all the stops, and he is being given license to do so. Let me tell you something. There is no hope for the U.S. as well as the global issue. It's a done deal. Oh, what do I do about it? Just say, come, sweet Jesus. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when we heard, how many of you, when you heard about Planned Parenthood, ripped your garments, you went down in prayer and fasting, went into a mourning for the blood of the innocent, and asking God to bring the authority and loose the power of God? How many of you did it? I didn't do it. I'm the only one that's guilty, I suppose. Huh? When the President of the United States lit up the White House. How many of you were smitten in your soul? How many of you moved in not righteous indignation, but sorrow and mourning? You know, when Mordecai heard the threat upon threat to the Israel, he went down into fasting and praying. Why? Because he said, "God, have mercy on your people." Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. I want to read to you. Well, I was going to go to Matthew 24, but I'm going someplace else. I want to go over here to Revelation. And I want to go over here to the third chapter. Because I believe the third chapter and the fifth session deals with you and I. I believe that the whole concept of that fifth station, that's, you know what the fifth station is? Huh? It's the golden altar of incense. It is the offering of the soul. Are you offering your soul? I made a little note here. We sang a song, "You Alone." Were any of you convicted? Were you convicted? Was your heart smit? Could you sing it? Was there any thought or fact? Is it true? Is it really true? Are you just repeating the words of a song in hopes that somehow, some way, God will honor the sound that comes out of your voice, out of your lungs, out of your being? How is it?
Yes.
You alone. Praise the Lord. Is there any way by chance we can get that up there on the... You alone are my what?
Strength, my shield.
Strength, my shield. Is he your strength? Totally, absolutely, positively? Is he your shield? Totally, positively, absolutely? Do you have any other hope outside of him? Huh? Hallelujah. I find myself wanting in every one of those arenas. I find myself wanting, do you hear me? Wanting, very lean. Why? Because I don't have the reality of God I should have. You alone. What else is it? What, you alone what? Oh, does your spirit yield to Him? Do you yield to Him alone? How many of you get angry? How many of you get frustrated? How many of you get depressed? How many of you get jealous? How many of you envy? How many of you get greedy? How many of you want something that you cannot have? How many of you want or need something you think will fix your problem? Better house, better car, better bank account, better health, whatever the case may be. Whatever the case may be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was another song the Lord brought to me tonight. He says, give me oil. You know what it says in Revelation 3? Hallelujah. Huh? You know what it says in Revelation 3? Huh? Come buy of me what? Oil. Come buy of me what? Raiment. Come buy of me what? I have. Are we expending ourselves to get it? Now, brethren, I'm not talking about good works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about religious activity. No matter how good it is, or no matter how necessary it is. Yeah. I'm talking about your position, a personal relationship and position of in a place of confrontation with God.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jacob at Bethel.
Amen.
Huh? Like Jacob at Bethel. Hallelujah. You alone are my heart's desire. Huh? We should be convicted. It says to love the Lord your God. How?
All.
Who? How much?
All.
Do you love God more than your kids? Do you love God more than your husband? Do you love God more than your wife? Do you love God more than you love other things in the world? Hello? Hallelujah. I don't think we have gotten there yet, but I think that we need to get there if we want to be in the place that we need to be. And brethren, I don't believe we got very much more time. Hallelujah. You know, I was talking to Brother George the other day. Or yesterday, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it was today. But there was a prophecy. I don't know. Maybe somebody else can remember it. I've been trying to remember it. There was a word that somebody brought. It came from somewhere. That at the end of the day, when things begin to really collapse. If you think they could be collapsed now, you've got to wait and see. That a woman was president of the United States. Does anybody remember that word? Somebody must remember it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The moral fabric of our people, the moral fabric of humanity. We think it cannot get any worse. Isn't that right? And it gets worse. Can you believe the excuses they are making for the aborting and the dissembling of babies? Can you believe it? What we are seeing is not people who are morally depraved. We are seeing people whose mind and soul are completely given over to the devil. And what you are looking at is a diabolical behavior that has no moral compunction or godness in their soul or in their minds.
Yes.
And you know what? There is no hope for this world outside of you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
If there is nothing else that these things should do for you and I, it should cause us to get into our closet.
Amen.
It should get us to a place of going down into fasting and prayer and beginning to ask God to not deliver the world around, but deliver me from my propensity of humanity and the interference of those things of my flesh that keep me from being what it is I am supposed to be in the time of destruction. I am supposed to be a shield. I'm supposed to be a buckler. I'm supposed to be a position or a place of covering. That is my job description as a two witness company. That is my job description as first fruits. Hallelujah. We can't not even hardly get beyond the position or the place of our position of natural comfort and what we have acquired as human beings and the liberties that we facilitate in that environment that we call life and living in the U.S. Does it take Assyria? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, there are people who have lived in those countries as Christians in some way or another. Hello? Or even as successful people in the life that is around them, in the environment that they have been living there for years and prospering and enjoying something of a liberty of being able to live and to move in the society of people in which they were born. But that comes to an end. Immediately, they're fleeing out with the clothes on their back. I saw one newsreel. One time a man was running out of a house almost buck naked. Hallelujah. Are we waiting for that? But if you wait for that, you will miss it. It will be too late. Every situation, every set of circumstances, every aspect or thing that we are seeing in the news is a detail of the aspect or a prophetic word that is coming to us as a people. Now is the time of our activation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, chapter 3, verse 1, and unto the angel, messenger of the church of Sardis write these things, which saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. Did you hear it? I know thy works. You know, he's not condemning them for the works. Huh? In some manner or fashion, he seems to be accommodating them. He's making a mention of it. I know your works. And you've done some good things. You've done this and you've done that. And you did this, 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 and this. Huh? But he didn't stop there, did he? Hallelujah. I know thy works. That thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Oh my God. You know this scripture has bugged me. It has really bugged me. How can you be alive or have a testimony of being alive and be dead? Huh? And then later on, he gives them a commission. Can you imagine? They were to be caretakers in a cemetery. They were to deal with the mortuary end of it. Strengthening that which is yet alive. That's like a convalescent home. That's like a nursing home. You want to be in a nursing home? You want to take care of those that are about to die? That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. 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 This is to a church, the Fifth Station Church. We're talking about a holy place church. We're talking about a holy place ministry. We're talking about a holy place people. We're talking about a holy place revelation. That's what we're talking about. But why? What makes these people dead? Their a holy place people, but what makes these people dead? What makes them dead is they're not utilizing the message of the word that was delivered on them, that was designed to do something very special, very particular. It was designed to divorce them from the world. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Keep your finger there. Turn with me back over here to John chapter 17. Hallelujah. This is not an admonition to the disciples. This is an admonition to the government of God that is supposed to be established. 12 disciples. He ministered to them the word of life, the word of deliverance, the word of hope. He was giving them a sonship commission. He said down there in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. My goodness. Does the world hate you? Not that much, huh? Huh? Maybe I should say not enough. Huh? You know, I have to hand it to that lady over there in Kentucky. I have to hand it to her. She doesn't have your revelation, brother. Huh? She doesn't have the... I have to hand it to her. I don't know that I would have had the boldness to do it. I have to examine myself in light of what it is she's doing, whether I agree with her theology or not.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
It's not a matter of where she is. It's a matter of what she's doing. She's making a statement with her life. What did the world do? Huh? Oh, some said, well, they didn't criticize. She just should quit her job. It's the law. That's capitulation. And I don't know where she's going to go from here, but that woman made a statement that should convict every one of us. That woman made a statement with her life, and she's going to be hounded and persecuted and brought to a place of destruction unless God intervenes. I say, God, give her a revelation that is greater than the revelations she's got now. Give her strength and vitality. Hello? That she comes into the reality of truth. Send a messenger to her. Deliver her soul. Hallelujah. You know, the day I come before the Lord, if I don't measure up to that woman in my testimony, if I don't measure up to that woman in my position and my place of servitude to Him, and the getting out and cutting off the world.
Amen.
Hello. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. I'm not talking about your natural hand. I'm talking about those things in the natural arena that bring you into a place of bondage and cause you to be diverted.
Amen.
You know, the devil warned us we were going to be diverted, you know. You know what he was going to divert us from? Not from having our church.
Yes.
Huh? He wasn't going to divert us from having our church. You remember that word? Easily diverted and subverted. Subverted means to be brought out of a direction or a position of purpose and brought to a different position and a different destiny. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, they are, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. You know what hatred means? It says, and the world is trying to murder them. The world is trying to murder them. Some of them physically. If you don't believe me. You know, we have a constituted authority that is called policemen. What has happened to the respect for law and order? I'm not going into the mechanics. There's some of them, maybe a lot of them, I don't know, that have the God complex. But I'm talking about a constituted authority. I would just you travel with me. You know? I just got a report from a brother who bandits broke into his home, broke into his compound. Hallelujah. In a civilized, so to speak, society, and in a somewhat secure place, bars on the window, bars on the door, big wall, barbed wire on top of the wall, doors of iron and steel, locked up and chained, huh? And robbers came in spite of all of that, had AK-47s, broke the bottom window through the bars of the door of the house, and began to spray the inside of the house with bullets. Where is Psalms 91? Come on. Oh, that's somewhere else. That's not here. Oh, really? Man walks up in a busy city and shoots two policemen dead. Shoots them right in the head. Dead, dead, dead. A man walks up to a man filling up his tank and shoots him 15 times in broad daylight. Oh, those are isolated incidents. Really? What does it have? Does it have to happen to your neighbor? Does it have to happen in your community? I just heard a horrendous tale. You have an authority. Always read it. Oh my God, how terrible. Oh my, could you believe that? Oh my God, my answer is, where is the authority? Where is the church? What is the church doing? Where is the ministry that is in the church? The word of the prophetic utterance in the church. And I'm not talking about thus the prophet. Talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is in you and I. How many of you have dreams? Huh? How many of you have visions? How many of those visions get an interpretation of those impressions? And sometimes it's just the smallest little thing that God just speaks into our soul, and we brush it aside like it was a piece of dirt. Instead of stopping and taking the time and say, wow, oh my goodness, could this be something? Huh? And you know, I'm examining, I knew this man. I knew his wife. God intervened, God saved them, but they thought the robbers thought they were dead. They were laying on the floor of their home in a pool of blood. Hello? I have a responsibility. I'm asking God, am I culpable in this? No. You say, well, you're in the United States and he's way over there, way over there. Come on, brethren. I have a culpability in the Lord in the aspect of my position and relationship. And I have to know whether I was culpable so I can go to them and say, I'm awfully sorry, I have to repent to you. I was too busy minding my own business. How do I know that? Because one time I had a dream. It was a horrible dream about a woman. And her husband, it was a horrible dream. It was a horrible dream. Horrible things were happening to that woman. Horrible things. And I was getting ready to just slough it off as being the devil. You understand what I mean? But in the point of thinking and meditating on it, God began to talk to me, and I became aware that it was a warning. I picked up the phone and called long distance overseas to the people and told them what had happened. It saved her life. It saved a baby's life. I have a culpability. What is your culpability? I have a culpability. I have a culpability in my home that I have to move in a position or a place of absolute obedience to the Spirit of God. I can't let my home environment upset me. One way or the other, whether it's my kids or whether it's my grandkids or whether it's my wife or whether it's just me. And the fact that I don't like something that is going on, I have a culpability. Not to eat them. I have a culpability to God in the position of responsibility. You know, Brother Lucille would never turn his phone off. Do you know that? Never. Never turn his phone off. I asked him something. I said, you know, something, you need a little rest. You need to get a little house. You need to get a little R&R, right? He said to me, Bert, you never know when you have to go to war. You always have to be available. You know, in the Army, when you're in Special Forces, you're available all the time. You got this little buzzer that they carry around in their pocket. Huh? Like doctors and lawyers and things like that. Hello? And they may be on leave. They may be getting married. They may be on honeymoon. They may be taking care of their kids out on the beach. And that little buzzer goes off. Beep, 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 beep. They pull into this. Alert, alert. You've been activated. Where's our little beeper? Where's our little device? You know all of these principles, phones and devices and all, they're patterned after a spiritual network that we have, and we serve a God who is omniscient. We serve a God who is what? Omnipresent. That means He's everywhere at the same time. You know something? If I'm in the Spirit, I can be right there with Him.
Amen. Amen.
What would the king of Israel have done if Elijah had not been in the tent of the enemy king getting the information that is necessary to defeat the enemy? Hello? And what if he would have just held it on his own, in his own pocket? Oh, I don't think this means anything. Oh, I'm hallucinating. I must have been something I ate. Oh, I had this upset stomach and this acid reflex and all of this stuff. Nah, that can't be God. Amen. You know, I even listen to dreams that come from the devil. You know that. Because the devil thinks he's very smart. Huh? And he wants to intimidate me, so he gives somebody a bad dream about me. Huh? And that person is sometimes afraid, sometimes they're not, sometimes they're gloating. Hallelujah. But I listen to the devil and I say, okay, this is devil's strategy.
Mm-hmm.
This is devil's strategy. This is good. The devil is so smart, he's telling me everything he's going to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hello? And I just have to not do 1, not do 2, not do 3, not do 4, not do 5, not do 6. Huh? Hallelujah. Who wins? Who wins? Hallelujah. God wins. But we have to have a sensitivity in the Spirit. We're too busy minding each other's business. We're too busy minding each other's business. Or we're too busy minding our business. Hallelujah. What does it say? He says, I have given them thy word. Which word do you have? Which word do you have? Do you just have Duciel's word? Huh? Is that the word you have? Oh, it's not Duciel, it's just an apostolic word. Oh, glory, I'm an apostolic follower. I believe in an apostolic word. Oh, yes, praise God, I do. I believe in an apostolic word. I'm going to be in the sons of God sometime, somewhere out there in the fight, great blue and blue. That's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be fighting the devil and kicking him around and stomping on his head and knocking demons here, knocking demons there. And I'm going to be rich and famous. What word do you have? He gave him the word, and what happened? Their world began to disintegrate. The man they were trusting in, the man that they had deified. Huh? Oh yes, come on. They had deified him in their mind. He was going to establish a ruling network on the earth and bring everything into subjection to him. And they were going to be on 12 thrones, ruling 12 tribes of Israel. That's what they were going to do. Our theology is not much different than what theirs was. Because we believe that at the end of the day, God is going to raise some kind of hocus-pocus magic wand over us, and we're all going to be changed. And it's going to be a lovely, beautiful world. Butterflies and nice-smelling flowers. Huh? We're not doing anything about what it is that we have. There's a scripture in Galatians. Perhaps somebody could find it for me. It says, having Yes. Having the knowledge, does it say? Huh?
Denying the word.
Come on, somebody find it. Having the knowledge of the word, but denying the power of it. Yes. Let's read it. Let's read it. I want somebody to read the word. Because we need the word of God. We don't need my personal opinion of it.
That's in Timothy.
Okay, why don't you read it, Mark, please?
It says,
in Timothy 3,
chapter 3, verse 5.
Mm.
It says, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
All right. Stop right there. Chapter 3. And God is so marvelous. He even puts the right number on the right chapter, and he puts it in the right book. Huh? It's the book of Galatians, right? Or Timothy. Because Timothy had been given a commission by Paul. He had been given a commission by the word of God that had been laid, given to him by the what? The virtue of laying his hands upon him. Hello? And it's in chapter 3, which is the number of fullness. And it's in verse 5, which is the number of ministry. So you have the fullness of the ministry, hello, of the word that Paul brought and that he bequeathed to Timothy by virtue of laying on his hands. I would like to know what happened to Timothy after that. I think he remained true to the calling and the election. And I'm sure he probably met with a martyr's death. Why? Because the world hated him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I have given them thy word. What word do you have? All right, Galatians 3. He says, I'll go back to Galatians 3. He said, go ahead, read some more of that.
Second Timothy. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such.
Having a form. All right. Now remember that. And he says, you have a reputation of being alive. But what? It's a form.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mirage.
Mm-hmm.
It's a deception. In actuality, you're not alive at all. You're dead. Why are you dead? Because you are in a position or a place of denying the power of. Do you know what denying means in this context? Refusing it to have access.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get into a building and I'm denied access.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get into a vent, I'm denied an access. I want to get in a bus and I'm denied access. I want to get into a car and I'm denied access. I want to get into a restaurant and I'm denied access. Hello? I'm denied on the basis of not being able to enter in. But I'm not being denied. I am denying. I'm the doorkeeper.
Amen.
You remember that verse? Huh? I'd what? You know, that's a mystery to me. Have you ever wondered about the words of that song? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, then what? To take. Doesn't that seem like a little oxymoron to you? If you're a doorkeeper, you determine the fate of the house. Mystery there. I'm sure there's a revelation. I am the doorkeeper of my soul.
Amen.
So that means as I take the word and I look and examine it, that word begins to activate an authority that is pertinent to bring about a change. But I have to allow it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to permit it. And not only do I have to allow it and permit it, I must facilitate it. Huh? Let me give you a practical example. There are certain foods that I like, certain foods that I don't like. And most of the stuff I like is stuff that is not good for me. And most of the stuff that I don't like, a lot of it is good for me. Huh? And I am continually being put into situations of having to make a determination between what I like and what I don't like. Hello? What if I deny access of the don't like that is good for me? Huh? What if I submit to the access of food that is not good for me? Huh? What happens to me? Huh? I begin to find myself in some physical situations that are very uncomfortable and something that I very much do not want to find myself in. Hello? Whose fault is it? The food that I ate? Huh? Whose fault is it? It's my fault. I denied the power of the good food, and I allowed the power of the bad food. And you know something I'm finding? I don't have to like it if I'm willing to eat it. Did you hear me? I don't have to like it, but if I'm obedient to eat it. Oh, come on. It's a spiritual principle too. Do you know that? There were two sons. Huh? There were two sons. Father comes to one of the sons, go out to the field today and do the work. The one says, nah, I'm not going, Dad. I want to sleep. I'm going to run, rolls over and ignores Dad. Huh? He goes to the other son, son, go out in the field and do such and such. He says, yes, Dad, I'll do it. Gets up out of bed, gets his clothes on, walks out the door, and he's diverted into something else. His attention gets taken. Huh? So the son, he said he would do it. Huh? Willingly and gladly. Didn't do it. And the son, who was probably gruff in his position and disappointed his father, and said, I won't do it, went out and did it. Who did the will of the Father? Now, who in that situation is going to be blessed in spite of their attitudes? Of course, the son who did it had to repent and go out and do what he didn't want to do. That means he was out there in the sun, he was out there in the heat, doing whatever he had to do, and he wasn't grumbling and complaining and moaning and groaning about having to be out there and do what it was he had to do, and all of these different things, saying, oh, Dad's such a tyrant, he's such a workmaster, and he's always putting the whip on my back, and he's always saying this and this and this. No. He went out there and did it. No matter what he was, didn't like about it, he was doing it unto the glory of the Father.
Amen.
Hello? Amen. You can do it, but you can do it with the wrong attitude.
Yes.
You can do it with the wrong thought, the wrong demeanor, the wrong behavior. And your doing is nothing.
Amen.
You have to do it because you want to honor God. You want to honor the Father. How many times do we get into situations that we react to? You know, the nuclear fission has nothing on humanity. They call it a reactor, right? You put certain things together and there's a reaction. You put husband and wife together. You put mothers and fathers together with children or children with children. And you get what? And your home becomes a reactor, a nuclear reactor sometimes. Huh? It becomes a nuclear reactor. You have a meltdown. Hello? And when you have that meltdown, everybody else is getting contaminated.
Yeah.
Come on, brother. We are spiritual people. And there's a spiritual effect to what you do in private. There's a spiritual effect to what happens to you in your personality with another personality, or even in the position or place of relationship. You are transcenders. Is that right? You see and you sin? Isn't that what a transcender is? Has anybody ever heard of the word transcendental? You're all looking at me funny. Well, maybe it's an old radio term. Maybe it's not something they have now in this digital world. But transistors in my day were something that received the message and something that would send the message. You and I are transistors. We're not islands out in the middle of the Pacific. And you are more so because you are a part of a spiritual body. You are a part of a spiritual arena, an environment. You are connected in the spirit by the spirit. And when you go off or go into a meltdown, you're not just affecting yourself. You're sending out shock waves. And one of your shock waves may go clear around the continent and smite somebody in their bed and they have this dream. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're talking about what and who we are and the fact of how it works. We think when we got the doors closed and the window shades down, we are private, we are isolated, we are in computer terminology. When you have your shield up, your virus control, huh? That stops those things from going in and out.
Firewall.
Thank you. We think we have this firewall up. And where is everything getting blocked? Or it's not going out or it's not coming in? Oh my God. How foolish can we be to think that we are something that is not connected to something else when we as a people believe in body?
Amen.
We believe in body. There's no part of my body when it's functioning right, even if it's not functioning, that doesn't send a message to the rest of my body that something is significantly wrong somewhere in my body. Sometimes I just don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing physically wrong with me. You know, sometimes that's the way it is in the spirit. Huh? Someone could be having a problem somewhere, moving in a frame of mind that is not cognizant with the theology of the message that they have, and someone else is feeling bad about it.
Amen.
Loose! You think you're individually isolated in some fashion or form. You are not under the auspices of this word. And brethren, we're getting down. God is now getting down to the nitty gritty. Because we don't have much time. Oh, we heard it for 50 years, right? You know, I've been going back over some of the tapes. And I was listening to Turlock. Oh my God, how prophetic those meetings were. How prophetic. You know, Brother DeZoo, bless his heart. He had the imminent return of Jesus Christ etched upon his brain.
Yes.
And he was one of those who had eternity written on the back of his eyeballs. He was not looking at it as an event now, although he was saying, shortly to come to pass. And it will not be long before blah, 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 this and this and this and this. But what he was saying is that that there is a prophetic word in the aspect of what I'm telling you, and there is coming a time, and that time is unfolding before our eyes. And we were a witness, we were an ear witness, we were an eyewitness to the word. So when you look at ISIS and you look at the flood of refugees that are coming into Europe and the flood of refugees that are coming over your own border, you heard it in the prophetic utterance of the Word of God that brought the message to you of the end time and said that you were to be a son. You were to be a 444,000. You were to be a part of the first fruit company. You were to be of the two witness company. It's your responsibility to stand up in the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I believe there are yet workers to come into this message. Did you know that? We may think that we were the ones at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. But there are yet those that are now coming in. And you know what? They're going to get the 2 pence. Did you hear me? And you know something else? They may displace me. Why? Because I did not hear and I did not obey. I did not move in my personal set of circumstances to begin to deal with the carnality of my flesh, the desires that I have for a position or a place of comfort. Come on, brother, run! Are we a part of the generation that is in love with their comfort? Yes. I need to be delivered of that comfortness. Huh? And you know, God has blessed Nancy and I. He has brought us into many different situations. No electricity, no water, no ability to go where you want, when you want to go, and do what you want because you want to do it. Under the auspices of an authority that is antagonistic to Christianity. And we have seen God move time and time and time again. Had we not had those experiences? Huh? Ali, we would not have been blessed. We would not have the ability to believe God in extenuating circumstances that got worse from that point on. Huh? Hallelujah. And you know, we had plans. We had rented a house that we were supposed to be in until February in Ethiopia. We were supposed to be there. This was in October, September. When was it? September? And it came up that we had to give the house back. And I said to God, well, what about all the plans? What about the work of God? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? You know, God said nothing. Hallelujah. I finally came to the conclusion, okay, just give it up and then take the next step. Now, Ethiopia, brethren, is not like Dubuque. There are no storage shed facilities that you can rent that you can put your stuff in. Hello? And we had acquired some stuff. Hello? Huh? And if there was a place, whoever was renting it to you would probably rob you blind. They put your stuff in there, and you come back a month later, and it's gone. And then I said, oh, I don't know what happened to it. You have the key. Huh? But when we made up our mind that it was the Lord speaking and we begin to move, it was what, 5 days? We had a storage place and a reputable place, a position, and we had movers to move it, and we were out of the house in 5 days. Huh? Hallelujah. And we praised the Lord, got on the plane, and left. How many of you could be out of your house in 5 days? Hmm? 5 days. You got 5 days to get out of your house and flee. How many of you could do it? Hallelujah. Well, there are people that, but you know, they were out of their house in shorter time than 5 days, but they didn't carry much with them when they left. Hallelujah. Having the power. Hallelujah. All right. Having the power, having a form of godliness, of being like God, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's not talking about your neighbor. That is talking about when you look in the mirror and you see your reflection. And you have the truth or reality of who that person really is and where he's really at, he says, turn away from it. Turn away from it. Turn away from it. Hallelujah. So, brethren, it comes down to a choice for me. It comes down to a choice for me. Turn with me back over here to Revelations. It comes down to a choice for me. Hallelujah. He says, verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Hallelujah. There was a dream that came shortly after Brother Duciel died. And in the dreamer saw Brother Duciel standing before the Lord. And the thing that was emphasized was it was somewhat like an award ceremony on being decorated concerning what it was he had done. Have you ever watched one of those award ceremonies? When a man has getting the Medal of Honor and they read all of those attributes. And there was recently somebody sent me a link to this Sergeant Benedict. Have any of you seen that? Huh? I sent it to a few people. I was really impressed with the man. His story is incredible. And he's a Catholic. But his love of God, his love for his country, love for his fellow man, that he put himself voluntarily, in fact, he disobeyed orders to get on the helicopter, the evac helicopter, it was in Vietnam, that was going out to pick up this patrol that was behind enemy lines under heavy, heavy fire. He was mortally wounded, but he survived. And they gave him, President Reagan was reading, it took him 30 years, or 10 years, what was it?
It was many years later,
that was being awarded to him. Thank God he was still alive to get it. What the delay was, I don't know, but President Reagan was reading the list of his accomplishments. Hallelujah. And in this dream with Brother Duciel, it was a scenario like that. The things that he had accomplished and the things that he'd done. And I could almost hear in the spirit, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter now into the rest that I have prepared for thee. Hello? Is that going to be my commendation? Or is my commendation going to be, well, I should have. I could have. I would have. But I didn't. Am I going to be like the man in the wedding feast? Had an invitation to be there. I have an invitation to be there. Do you have an invitation to be there? He showed up expecting that he would be able to have the benefits of everybody else that was in there and enjoying the fellowship and be a part of the wedding party. But he was cast out. Brethren, I don't want to be cast out. And he wasn't just kicked out of the room. He was cast out. He had an invitation to be there. Do you hear it? I have an invitation. He was cast out into utter darkness where there was wailing. Well, then, isn't that what the Bible says about it? I mean, doesn't it describe hell instead of heaven? Hello? Is that my interpretation? A son who had the invitation, who had the privilege of being there, he had no garment.
Amen.
He did not allow that which he had been given to work within him the change that was necessary. He didn't even get a chance to be a curator of the mortuary. He was just cast out. I don't want to be there. And I have every potential of being there. Do you know that? Because it is cognizant in accordance to my choice. Job, family, position of relationship with job. I have to have God's word concerning every aspect of my personal life, and I have to move in accordance to that word. And utilizing the word of change that has been given to me in order to be qualified to be a part of that company. I'm going to share one vision I had, or dream. I don't know what it was. Woke up with the impression of this experience. But I had an invitation to a dinner. And it was a very important invitation, but as to what it was or exactly, I had no idea in the beginning of the dream. But when I took the invitation and I went to be a part of this event, I walked into this huge, massive room. Very big, and there was many people there. And we were all gathered there, kind of in an entryway, before a very long table, very wide and very long table. And the table was loaded. I mean, it was just piled. It kind of went from the outside of the table. And it maybe was twice as wide as this table, maybe three times as wide. I don't know. But it was piled with every sort of food that you can think of. Every possible aspect of something that was edible or even looked like it was non-edible. But it was on the table and I knew it was all edible. Mm-hmm. And I looked and there were no chairs. There were no chairs at the table. Hmm. And it came to me, now, this isn't a dinner, this is a feast. That was the thought that came when I saw the table and the people. I said, this is an event, this is a feast. And we were to go to one edge of the table, as this was the edge, and we had a plate, and there was no utensils. And we were to take a little bit of everything on the table. And we were to eat it as we were going along. And the more you ate, the more you had to take. The more you had to take. And you had to try something of everything on the table. And you walked down that whole table, around the end, and down the other side. And the food on the other side was different than the food on this side. And it would be an impossibility for you or I to do what we were being required to do. But we were able to do it without discomfort. Hello? Hallelujah. And I was intuitively aware that some of this food I was not going to like. And I was also intuitively aware that my reaction to the food was going to determine something at the end of the event. Hallelujah. It wasn't a trial. It was, I hesitate to say it was a test, but it was more than that. It was a qualification, event of qualification of something that was up ahead, which I had no idea what it was. Hello? As to what was going to happen, but I was required to take it, and I was required to eat any of it and all of it that I took. And I had to take everything, come on, regardless of whether I liked the look of it, I liked the texture of it, I liked the feel of it, whatever the case, and I could not respond negatively. Hello? Do you ever eat something that you really don't like? Or you watch your kids eat something they really eat? Anybody familiar with that? Huh? That was not allowed. Not only externally, but internally. So I knew that it was not just dealing with food, it was dealing with a spiritual position of relationship and authority of God that would be given to you in your willingness to do it in the right manner. Yeah. Hallelujah. It wasn't until I got down out to around the table, down to the other corner, and was looking down this long line, and as the people came to the extreme edge from where I was, the extreme corner from where I was, some were going to the left, some were going to the right. To me, in the dream, it was self-explanatory. It was a division and a separation. Hello? Do you remember, what does the Bible say about that? Huh? What goes to the left? Huh? What goes to the left? Come on, you're afraid to say it. Huh? Am I going to be a goat? I hope not. The sheep go to the right, the goat goes to the left. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something. I started trying to eat things I don't like. And not express myself physically. I do that first, you understand? God help us. Hallelujah. And when I came out of the dream, came out of the experience, I was aware that it was a matter of people relationships. It wasn't really food, that natural food. It was my behavior toward people. And the partaking of an experience. Hello? Whether I liked it or not. Huh? The onus was not on the other individual. It wasn't on the food. The onus was on me and my reaction to it. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you.